Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast.
So what happened to him?
You don't want to know. It's not lifestyle, it's life.
Come on.
Union Carbide stores 40 tons of poison in the heart of Bhopal. And it leaks out every night. That widow's husband was killed with one drop of it.
Did you know him?
He was my best friend.
That's a clip from a new historical drama called Bhopal, A Prayer for Rain, which is based on the real-life Bhopal disaster 30 years ago in the heart of India, in the capital of the Indian state of Madhya Pradesh, home to 75 million residents. A massive chemical leak caused thousands of immediate deaths, and over the coming years, thousands more premature deaths. The film Bhopal, A Prayer for Rain, will be screened tomorrow afternoon in Hodson Hall at Johns Hopkins University. The film has incited fresh dialogue about Bhopal and is a reminder that the ripple effects of that day in 1984 are still being felt. That's one reason Sanjay Verma, an activist and survivor of the pesticide plant leak, has traveled to the United States from India this week. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here.
And Tim Edwards is visiting the States from England. He's a researcher and information specialist with the International Campaign for Justice in Bhopal. He's also the executive trustee of the Bhopal Medical Appeal. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Sanjay Verma, remind us what happened in Bhopal in 84 with the Union Carbide leak.
Well, I was too young to remember because I was just like 6 months old when it actually happened. It was my sister and my elder brother who actually told me about that night. There were about like 7,000 to 10,000 people who actually died in the first 72 hours. And
water got into, the chemical I read about is methyl isocyanate. Combined with water, and that created a poisonous gas that was released into the air.
It was an exothermic reaction, actually, when about 40 tons of methyl isocyanate gas leaked from a storage tank from this plant of Union Carbide.
And so thousands died right then.
It killed about like 7,000 to 10,000 people in the first 72 hours.
And what happened to you?
Well, we were living right across the street from the main plant. We were four brothers, four sisters, and parents. Three of my sisters, two of my brothers, and both of my parents, they were killed by this company in one night. So the morning after, a family of 10 became a family of three. It was my 13-year-old brother and my 9-year-old sister and I. We were the only three survivors from a family of 10.
So you lost so much of your family. A harrowing story, but well, tell me how the disaster then continue to affect your family?
Well, the factory still stands there, abandoned, killing people even today. Like, there are tons of thousands of toxic waste lying in and around the site. There are more than 50,000 people living in about like 18 water-affected communities. Their water is still being contaminated, and they were drinking this contaminated water without knowing that their water was being poisoned by this Union Carbide plant in Bhopal. So the cleanup has never been done. Factory still stands there, killing people even today. And now, because of the water contamination, their children are being born with several birth deformities. So it's not just a disaster that occurred like over 30 years ago. It is still happening and killing people.
Including children?
Yes.
Children of parents who weren't born at the time?
Yes. These are the innocent children who were not even part of this world when the disaster occurred. Yet they are suffering.
On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with survivor and activist Sanjay Verma and with Tim Edwards with the International Campaign for Justice for Bhopal. We're talking about the legacy of a toxic gas leak in Bhopal, India, and the continued efforts to address problems of residents there today. Tim, how does this bill continue to affect survivors?
There are an estimated 120,000 to 150,000 people who remain chronically ill from the effects of the gas disaster in 1984, so 30 years later. Essentially, the gas got into the bloodstream of people who were exposed via the lungs and affected every organ in the body and has caused a range of multi-systemic illness as a result. Chromosomal aberrations were observed, leading to the likelihood of cancers and birth defects down the line. The surface tissue of the lungs was very badly damaged, leading to chronic obstructive pulmonary disease in many of the survivors. There are gynecological problems, There have been growth disorders. There have been neurological effects. The impacts of that, you know, one event 30 years ago continue to resonate throughout the health of 500,000 people who are exposed.
And one hears about that and thinks, well, has there been no medical care or no compensation for victims? I mean, what's happened in 30 years to try to ameliorate the situation, Sanjay?
Well, our own government actually has spent like a lot of money on like building hospitals, fancy hospitals for like gas victims, but we never got like good health care. And even these like people who are exposed to this water contamination, they have no free health care at all. We have these two clinics actually, which is Sambhavna Trust Clinic and this Chingari Trust. It's actually a rehabilitation center for the children who are being born with several birth deformities. So these are the two places where they can actually go and get treatment for free. There's a charity in the UK called the Bhopal Medical Appeal. They raise funds in the UK, and then that's how these clinics in Bhopal get funded.
Dow Chemical now owns Union Carbide. Are the corporations paying for some of the restitution and the medical care?
In a word, no. There was a one-off settlement payment made in 1989 for $470 million, which was supposed to take care of all aspects of the disaster. At that time, the second disaster of contamination wasn't really understood, so that certainly wasn't part of the settlement. Also, that one-off payment resulted in a compensation amount of approximately $500 per person affected for life by the effects of the gas. And a high percentage of the people who were awarded that compensation had spent that money on medicines long before they actually received it, because it took around 15 to 20 years for the money to start reaching people on the ground. So many people who were too ill to work, who had lost their livelihoods, who had spent most of their family income on medicines, received a pittance, essentially, from the corporations involved.
Sanjay, we have just less than a minute left. What do you want people in Maryland to learn from your visit here and our discussion?
Well, we believe that we all live in Bhopal. So it's not just a disaster actually happening in Bhopal, because if you look around, you will see all these multinational corporations still doing business, putting profit over people's lives. So I'm here to ask them for support and put more pressure on American government and also on Indian government so that justice delivers in Bhopal soon.
I really appreciate your giving us some insight into it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sanjay Verma, activist and survivor of the 1984 Bhopal disaster. Tim Edwards, a researcher and information specialist with the International Campaign for Justice in Bhopal, an executive trustee of the Bhopal Medical Appeal. Bhopal, A Prayer for Rain, screens tomorrow in Hodgson Hall at Johns Hopkins University. Pat Santosham, a local physician, brought our guests to Baltimore for the next few days. She's also executive producer of Bhopal, A Prayer for Rain. Seating for the screening is limited at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. We've got a link to RSVP. Maryland Morning is an original production
of your public radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Matt Purdy
and Jonna McCone.
We have production help from
Estelle Klein
and Catherine Sway.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. On this day in Maryland history, 1781, Maryland became the 13th and final state to ratify the Articles of Confederation. They were the law of the land until the U.S. Constitution took effect in 1789. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.